This year is going to be on Shul Security on Shabbos, and we will cover three different broad topics. The first topic is whether you can use surveillance systems on Shabbos. The second topic is are guns muktzah? And the third topic is, in general, how do we determine what is considered a pikuach nefesh situation, a life-threatening situation that would allow us to set aside Shabbos prohibitions. So regarding the first question, are surveillance systems permitted? It would be in the interest perhaps of shuls or even homeowners to have potentially a video of someone coming into the building or on the perimeter. And in this instance, the person who is being videoed is uninterested in being videoed. And let's assume right now that it's not a pikuach nefesh, a life-threatening situation. So are you allowed to set up a surveillance system to help assess who's coming into the building and for security reasons? So the Gemara in Be'ah, Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, cites a famous machlokas, a famous debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding davar she'eino miskaven, regarding performing a neutral action on Shabbos that may or may not result in a malacha being performed. And the case is, Rabbi Shimon says, gorer adam mita kisei v'safsal uvivajli yiskaven lasos charitz. So Rabbi Shimon says a person can drag a bed, a chair, or a bench in the ground as long as he doesn't intend to make a furrow. Even if he does, it's a davar she'eino miskaven, and it's mutter, and it's permitted. And we generally hold like Rabbi Shimon that davar she'eino miskaven is permitted. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, states that mode Rabbi Shimon v'psik resha v'lo yamus. Rabbi Shimon agrees that in a case of psik reshe, what's a psik reshe? In the old days, they didn't have basketballs or footballs. They would play with heads of chickens. And psik reshe means when you cut off the head of a chicken, if a child cuts off the head of a chicken because he wants to play with the head, he will definitely kill that animal. His intention is simply to play with the head of the chicken. But he will... His actions, his neutral action, will inevitably cause a malacha to be performed. And in this case, Rabbi Shimon says that this is forbidden. In a case where the malacha may or may not be performed, so Rabbi Shimon says that's permitted on Shabbos, but if you know definitively that your action will result in a malacha being performed, that's called psik reshe, and even Rabbi Shimon holds that that is forbidden. And there are essentially a lot of, there are two questions or two fact patterns that perhaps, if changed slightly, may change the halacha. So Rabbi Shimon holds that psik reshe is forbidden. Well, what if it's psik reshe d'lo nichale? What if you are uninterested in the result? You cut off the head of the chicken, but you could care less if the chicken dies or not. You open up a refrigerator door and you don't care if some of the lights go on that determine whether how cold it is inside or not. So that's a psik reshe d'lo nichale. The Aruch has a famous position that psik reshe d'lo nichale is permitted. It's only when psik reshe de nichale, that's forbidden, but psik reshe de lo nichale is permitted. However, Tosus disagrees, and Tosus holds that it is forbidden midrabanan, because it's similar to what's called the malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. So we have this machlokas, we have this debate, and Shulchan Aruch seems in Siman Shin Chav Seif Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch paskins rules like Tosfos. So psik reshe de lo nichale is still forbidden. What about a psik reshe if the underlying malacha is only an iser derabbanan, is only a rabbinic prohibition? So that's also a discussion. It's a machlokes, but the Mishnah Brura paskins that we are strict, that it's appropriate in Siman Shin Yudal, Tzivkat and Yudal. The Mishnah Brura says that he cites a whole host of Achronim, the Magen Avraham, the Eli Rabba, the Gra, or Kiva Eger, that Psik Reisha is forbidden even if the underlying prohibition is rabbinic. So now we know that Psik Reisha with an Issur D'Rabbanan is forbidden. And we know that Psik Reisha D'Lo Nichale is forbidden. What about a Psik Reisha D'Lo Nichale B'Issur D'Rabbanan? What if it's both factors? What if the underlying prohibition is rabbinic and you do not care about the result? In that case, is it permitted? So there, it's not so clear. The Mishnah Brura in Simon Shin Tav Zayin Sif Katan Tezvav seems to indicate, just as one example, he seems to say that Psik Reshe Delo Nichale V'Isser D'Rabbanon is only permitted when it's a double D'Rabbanon. The case there is a case where you're closing, let's say you're closing a cupboard. For whatever reason, you just want to close it on Shabbos, and you happen to, there happens to be a fly, that by closing the cupboard, you are trapping the fly inside the cupboard. So your intention is not to trap the fly. And the Mishnah Brura says that if it's a big cupboard, then you can close the door, or a big closet, you can close the door. Your intention is not to catch the fly. So that's a psik reshe delo nichale. You're uninterested in catching the fly. And the reason why it's permitted is because it's a double drabbanon. Because a fly is not a creature that is typically trapped. And number two, even if you have this very big closet and you close the door on the fly, then when you open it, you won't be able to grab it immediately. So it seems the Mishnah Brura in this case holds that Psik Reshe Delo Nichale requires a double drabbanon for it to be permitted. That being said, there are other sources which seem to say that no, even with one Issur D'Rabbanan, it's permitted. Ravadi Yosef and Yechaveh Das, Chelek Bey, Simon Memvav, seem to say Psik Reshe Lo Nichaleb Issur D'Rabbanan is permitted. Rabbi Willig has an interesting position in Am Mordechai, Simon Lamed Aleph, where he writes that there's a difference what type of Issur D'Rabbanan it is. If the underlying prohibition is, let's say, an Issur D'Oraisa. And the reason why it is an Issur D'Rabbanan is due to a technicality. Let's say it's Kilach HaYad, it's the Malacha is done with a Shina in an unusual way. In this instance, you would need a double D'Rabbanan for it to be Mutter. You need Psik Reshe D'Lo Nichale with a double D'Rabbanan. However, if the underlying prohibition is rabbinic and it's not really connected to an Issur D'Oraisa. Let's say, for example, electricity. According to many poskim, it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's not an Issur D'Rabbanan because of some technicality. It's fundamentally an Issur D'Rabbanan. It's not connected to an underlying Issur D'Oraisa. So in that case, all you would need is one D'Rabbanan to be permitted. So what emerges from all of this is the following. What emerges from all this is the following, that if you have a surveillance camera, so it seems that if people who attend shul have no interest in being videotaped on Shabbos, and therefore that's a psik reshe d'lo nichale, they're coming to shul, they're not interested in being videotaped, so that's psik reshe d'lo nichale. There's a machlokes how we view electricity when you're not heating a metal in doing so. So if you hold that completing a circuit is an Issur D'Rabbanan, then we're dealing with a Psik Reshe D'Lo Nichale B'Issur D'Rabbanan, and that would seem to be a permitted, at least the way according to Rabbi Willig, the way he understands Psik Reshe D'Lo Nichale B'Issur D'Rabbanan in this type of Issur D'Rabbanan. So it would seem to be that if there's a need, if there's a security need, even if there's not an immediate pikuach nefesh situation, so then there seems to be room for leniency because it's a psik reisha lenichalei be'issur derabbanan. And the issur derabbanan is not really connected to an issur d'oraisa per se. It's not simply an issur d'oraisa that was knocked down to a derabbanan due to a technicality. Additionally, there's probably another reason to be lenient as well, because it's not like you're doing something unusual. You're walking to shul. You are simply, there's no malachas machsheves at all. You have no intent to be on camera. You're simply walking to shul. This is based on a Rashba. And so it seems that there is another reason, because maybe this whole halacha, psik reisha lenichalei be'issur derabbanan, we're only discussing a case where you go out of your way and you do a malacha, or you do an action that is connected to some malacha. You open a refrigerator door and the light's going on. If you're simply walking down the street, walking to shul, you're not at all connected to a camera videotaping you. You're not interested. So that might be another reason potentially to be lenient. So there are certainly grounds for a shul that needs, for security reasons, to have a surveillance system. The next question is when it comes to guns. What about guns? Are guns muksa? If you bring a gun to shul, so first of all, there's a general question. Obviously, some people want to bring guns because they feel it will bring greater security. It's a question of who's bringing the gun to shul. Is the person equipped? That's beyond the scope of this shiur, but it would seem to be that it may not always be the smartest thing for someone who's not trained to necessarily bring a gun to shul, because it can do more harm than good. And that's really a question for the security experts. But on a very basic level, are guns muksa? Rav Shlomo Goren wanted to argue in Meshiv Milchama that since the vast majority of uses of guns are to save someone's life, so the gun is not muksa, because when you normally use the gun, it's pikuach nefesh. It's for a mitzvah, so it's not considered muksa. However, other posts can disagree, because we don't say that in other cases. Let's say a milah knife. You have a knife that you only use for a bris milah. So when you use it on Shabbos, you're only using it for a mitzvah. But nevertheless, we still view it as a muksa, machmas k'saron kis. We still view it as muksa when you're not using it for the purpose of bris milah. So how do you view a gun on Shabbos? So the truth is, one could argue that maybe it's a kli shemalachta le'isser. Maybe it's something that's a kli shemalachta le'isser, according to Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Ches Sif Gimel, defines a kli shemalachta le'isser. The classic case is a hammer. A hammer that is typically used, or predominantly used, for a forbidden purpose, to hammer and nails. However, you can use it for a permitted purpose. Let's say you have a walnut, and you want to open up the walnut, so you don't have a walnut cracker, use a hammer. So there, in that case, you would be allowed to move the hammer, because it's a kli shemalachta le'isser litzarach gufo, that you're using it for a permitted purpose to open up a walnut, so it's totally permitted to move it. So maybe a gun, maybe it's a kli shemalachta le'isser, and it can be used for a permitted purpose, perhaps to save a life, or maybe to deter someone from attacking, from coming into your building. And the truth is, it might not even be a kli shemalachta le'isser. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to argue in Shmir Shabbos Kachasa Periches Ha'ara Chavches. He writes, "Mikol Makom Nira Derova VeEkdach Kedei LaHatil Bohem Eima." That the function of a gun is simply to instill fear in to potential attackers. And therefore, he argues, and then he says that mistaber, The shelo bishas melchava, not in times of war. Rov tashmisham rak lahartia, the purpose of the gun, most use of the gun is only to deter potential attackers. And he writes, kol zeh shemati me'agon Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So I heard from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So this would seem to indicate that what? That a gun might even be a kli shemalachta leheter, because the primary use of the gun is intimidation. Indeed, Rav Moshe Feinstein in Or Chaim Chelek Dalad Simon Pei Aleph, when he discusses whether Hatzalah members can carry walkie-talkies, he doesn't even bring the Muksa issue seemed as an issue. He talks about, are you allowed to carry it? Are you allowed to have a walkie-talkie out on the streets? Is there an issue of Hotzah and carrying where there's no Eruv? And it seems he doesn't even consider a Muksa as an issue. Even though it seems that a gun is perhaps at worst a klisha malachta l'issa that you can move l'tzarech gufo, and at best a klisha malachta l'heter that you can certainly move on Shabbos, there's an important position by Rav Yoshev. It's cited in Shvus Yitzchak, Chelek Yudbeis, Simon Vav, Sifkat and Gimel, where he cites the author, he writes that he heard from Ragon or Shlomo Shalom al-Yashiv, that even he's talking about a telephone. And he says, he asks the question, can you carry a telephone instead of a watch? Your goal in carrying a telephone, a cell phone, your goal is you want to use it as a watch. And let's assume that somehow when you pick it up, circuits don't close, lights don't go on and off. But he thought, Rav Yashiv still thought, that even though using a cell phone as a watch, you could argue that the cell phone is a klisha malachta le'iser, and therefore you can move it le'tzarech gufo, you can have it, you can carry it on you, because your goal is to use it for a permitted purpose, to tell the time. Nevertheless, Rav Yashiv writes, that yesh bazeh mishum zilusa de Shabbos. So it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. You shouldn't be walking around with cell phones. It's not appropriate. So you should wear a watch. You shouldn't have a cell phone. It's not the spirit of Shabbos. And maybe you can make the same argument with guns, that if guns aren't necessary, to walk around with guns on Shabbos, it's not so appropriate. Let's say you have security members, people on your security team in your shul, for them to walk around, especially in the main sanctuary, when it's somewhat unnecessary, with their walkie-talkies out, or with their whatever their muksa equipment out for everyone to see, it's not so appropriate. It's not in the spirit of Shabbos. It's important that if there are heterim to use these items, these muksa items, they should be hidden at best, unless there's some need for them not to be hidden. The third issue I want to discuss is the issue of what's considered a pikuach nefesh situation. Certainly after the shootings in the Pittsburgh shul, Pittsburgh synagogue, and also after the shooting in the Chabad of Poway, so people are very nervous. And the question is, are you allowed to set aside Shabbos prohibitions for and say this is pikuach nefesh? And there are different types of ways that one could set aside Shabbos prohibitions, wearing earpieces for communication, potentially carrying a cell phone, and other such things. What's considered pikuach nefesh? Who determines whether something is pikuach nefesh? So the truth is, on the one hand, the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Pei Dalad Amud Bey, says, cites Shmuel's position of lo holchu b'pikuach nefesh achar harov. We don't follow statistical majorities when it comes to life-threatening situations. So even if there's a small chance that something can happen, then we're concerned about that. The truth is, though, Tosfos and Psachim, Daf Memvav Membei, states that if something's not common at all, then there Tosfos asks, why can't you cook food on Shabbos? because maybe it can be used for someone who's a life-threatening situation, a cholo sheyesh bo sakana. And it says that's lo shkiach klal, that's not really common at all. So in that case, we don't apply this principle. So it's true, we rely on minority situations to set aside Shabbos, but some situations are so unusual and so unlikely that we don't have to consider them. And the Binyan Tzion in Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin tells us that Klal B'Yadeinu De'ein Lecha, he says, Afagav the Klal B'Yadeinu Lecha Davar Omeid Bifnei Pikuach Nefesh Ve'ein Holchim B'Pikuach Nefesh Achar Harov, that even though we have a general rule that Pikuach Nefesh wins out over other prohibitions like Shabbos, and we don't follow majority, even if there's a possibility of pikuach nefesh, of a life-threatening situation, we set aside Shabbos prohibitions. Zedafka b'yesh vaday sakaras nefesh v'aneinu. That's only when there's definitely a potentially life-threatening situation in front of us. Can go b'nafal of hagal. Let's say rubble falls on someone. So then das choshia fil miuta de miuta. Then rubble falls on someone, and you think likely he's dead. But, no, if there's a chance that he's still potentially alive, so we violate Shabbos, remove the rubble, because potentially we can save him. He says, however, if there's not an immediate pikuach nefesh situation, then we don't necessarily say, oh, I'm concerned for pikuach nefesh, because it's not only a Shabbos issue. It's also a v'nishmartem me'od l'nafsho seichem issue. Because if something is really a potentially life-threatening situation, you can't put yourself in that situation. So, for example, the Binyan Tzion writes that im lokein, if you say that even in a minority situation we're concerned with pikuach nefesh, ech muter lered liyam, let's say slamidbar, how can you go out to sea and how can you go out to the desert? Shame advarm shetzrichim lahodosh al shenitzolu, because after you, if you cross the sea or you come out of the desert, then you have to say thank you to God. You have to. There's a requirement to say thank you to God that you are saved, because it's a potentially dangerous situation. Ech muter lachatchil lichnos l'sakana v'lavar al v'nishmartim ol b'nafshil seichem. So how can you put yourself in that situation lachatchila? So what's the answer? The answer is that we're only concerned with pikuach nefesh when it's in front of us, when it's a reality at this moment, both for Shabbos and also for v'nishmartem ol l'nafshel seichem, it seems. So how does this? Where does that leave us? So the truth is, many achronim basically take the position that it's somewhat subjective. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, for example, in Shulchan Shlomo writes that the real question is, if the situation occurred during the week and you would be very nervous, then it's called pikuach nefesh. In other words, let's say you have security, a lot of people Shabbos morning, and you perhaps are setting aside certain Shabbos prohibitions that you feel is necessary for security for the shul. So would you do the same thing if it was during the week? You know, an example that's brought down is in when it comes to the IDF and the different halachos there. Let's say, for example, an army jeep is driving around and the tire there's a flat. So the question is, if it's Shabbos, do you have to fix the flat? So the question is, so let's say again, there is right, so the question is, if this was during the week, would you repair the flat? Now, it might be depending where the jeep is, if the jeep in hostile territory, is it not? So wherever during the week you would be scared and you would be nervous that this is potentially a life-threatening situation, you would act with great nervousness and with great care. So then it seems you could view that also as a potential pikuach nefesh situation on Shabbos, and act accordingly. But that's really the question. And then when it comes to each security situation, to some extent there is some subjectivity, but But the general rule is that when people would get nervous for that specific situation during the week, so you can rely on, you can assume that this is a potential pikuach nefesh, and do what is minimally necessary to override Shabbos prohibitions in order to provide greater security for your community. So we talked about three issues again, just to summarize. The first issue was surveillance systems. It seems that if there's a security need, one could be lenient on the grounds of it being a situation of psik reshe, de lo nichale, be issa d'rabbanon, that's not only an issa d'rabbanon due to some technicality, but fundamentally an issa d'rabbanon. Additionally, it may also be misasek, the person simply walking and the camera is taking a picture of him. And then we saw the status of a gun, how it might be a klisha malachto le'isser, that you can move for a permitted purpose, and it might even be a klisha malachto le'heter. And finally, we discussed the issue of pikuach nefesh, and how you define pikuach nefesh. It has to be an immediate threat, it has to be something which we believe is a real pikuach nefesh right now, and at the same time, there is some subjectivity. And the question really is, if the situation occurred during the week and we would get very nervous and we'd want to make sure that we deal with it during the week, then it seems to be that it would be considered pikuach nefesh.